It's episode 88 of the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. I'm Steve Webb. We begin the fourth book of the Pentateuch today with Numbers chapter 1, and we'll read Mark chapter 12. Both of these will be from the Common English Bible, and then we'll read Psalms chapter 10 from the Good News Bible. Numbers chapter 1. The Lord spoke to Moses in the Sinai desert in the meeting tent on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they left the land of Egypt. Take a census of the entire Israelite community by their clans and their households, recording the name of every male 20 years old and above who is eligible for military service in Israel. These you and Aaron will enlist in their military units. Take with you one man from each tribe who is the head of his household. These are the names of the men who will assist you. From Reuben, Elizur, Shedeur's son. From Simeon, Shelumiel, Zurishaddai's son. From Judah, Nahshon, Amminadab's son. From Issachar, Nethanel, Zuar's son. From Zebulun, Eliab, Helon's son. From Joseph's sons. From Ephraim, Elishama, Ammiud's son. From Manasseh, Gamaliel, Pedazur's son. From Benjamin, Abidan, Gideon's son. From Dan, Ahiezer, Amishaddai's son. From Asher, Pagiel, Achran's son. From Gad, Eliasaph, Duel's son. From Naphtali, Ahira, Enan's son. These are the ones appointed from the community, chiefs of their ancestral tribes and leaders of the divisions of Israel. Moses and Aaron took these men, who were selected by name, and they assembled the entire community on the first day of the second month. They registered them by their clans and their households, recording the name of each male 20 years old and above. Moses enlisted them in the Sinai desert just as the Lord commanded him. There were the descendants of Reuben, Israel's oldest, registered by their clans and their households. Every man 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, was individually recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Reuben were 46,500. There were the descendants of Simeon, registered by their clans and their households. Every male, 20 years old and above, eligible for military service was individually recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Simeon were 59,300. There were the descendants of Gad, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Gad were 45,650. There were the descendants of Judah, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Judah were 74,600. There were the descendants of Issachar, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Issachar were 54,400. There were the descendants of Zebulun, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Zebulun were 57,400. From Joseph's descendants, there were the descendants of Ephraim, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Ephraim were 40,500. There were the descendants of Manasseh, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Manasseh were 32,200. There were the descendants of Benjamin, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Benjamin were 35,400. There were the descendants of Dan, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Dan were 62,700. There were the descendants of Asher, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Asher were 41,500. There were the descendants of Naphtali, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Naphtali were 53,400. These are the ones who were enlisted by Moses, Aaron, and the 12 chiefs of Israel, each from his own household. All the Israelites 20 years old and above, eligible for military service in Israel, were enlisted by their households. All those enlisted were 603,550. But the Levites, belonging to their own ancestral tribe, weren't enlisted along with them. The Lord spoke to Moses, "You must not enlist the tribe of Levi, nor should you take their census along with the Israelites. Rather, assign the Levites to the covenant dwelling, to all its equipment, and to everything that belongs to it. They will carry the dwelling and all its equipment, perform its religious ceremonies, and camp around the dwelling. When it's time to break camp, the Levites will take down the dwelling, and when it's time to make camp, the Levites will set up the dwelling. Any other person who approaches will be put to death. The Israelites will camp, each in their own place, under the banner of their own military unit. But the Levites will camp around the covenant dwelling, so that God's anger will not strike the Israelite community. The Levites will guard the covenant dwelling." The Israelites did everything exactly as the Lord commanded Moses. Mark chapter 12. Jesus spoke to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a tower. Then he rented it to tenant farmers and took a trip. When it was time, he sent a servant to collect from the tenants his share of the fruit of the vineyard. But they grabbed the servant, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Again the landowner sent another servant to them, but they struck him on the head and treated him disgracefully. He sent another one. That one they killed. The landlord sent many other servants, but the tenants beat some and killed others. Now the landowner had one son whom he loved dearly. He sent him last, thinking, "They will respect my son." But those tenant farmers said to each other, "This is the heir. Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." They grabbed him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. So what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Haven't you read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it's amazing in our eyes. They wanted to arrest Jesus because they knew that he had told the parable against them, but they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. They sent some of the Pharisees and supporters of Herod to trap him in his words. They came to him and said, "Teacher, we know that you're genuine and you don't worry about what people think. You don't show favoritism, but teach God's way as it really is. Does the law allow people to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay taxes or not?" Since Jesus recognized their deceit, he said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a coin. Show it to me." And they brought one. He said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" "Caesar's," they replied. Jesus said to them, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." His reply left them overcome with wonder. Sadducees, who deny that there is a resurrection, came to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a widow but no children, the brother must marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman. When he died, he left no children. The second married her and died without leaving any children. The third did the same. None of the seven left any children. Finally, the woman died. At the resurrection, when they all rise up, whose wife will she be? All seven were married to her." Jesus said to them, "Isn't this the reason you are wrong, because you don't know either the scriptures or God's power? When people rise from the dead, they won't marry, nor will they be given in marriage. Instead, they will be like God's angels. As for the resurrection from the dead, haven't you read in the scroll from Moses in the passage about the burning bush, how God said to Moses, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'? He isn't the God of the dead, but of the living. You are seriously mistaken. One of the legal experts heard their dispute and saw how well Jesus answered them. He came over and asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus replied, "The most important one is, 'Israel, listen. Our God is the one Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You will love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these.'" The legal expert said to him, "Well said, teacher. You have truthfully said that God is one and there is no other besides him. And to love God with all your heart, a full understanding, and all of one's strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more important than all kinds of entirely burned offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered with wisdom, he said to him, "You aren't far from God's kingdom." After that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. While Jesus was teaching in the temple, he said, "Why do the legal experts say that the Christ is David's son? David himself, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right side until I turn your enemies into your footstool.' David himself calls him Lord, so how can he be David's son?" The large crowd listened to him with delight. As he was teaching, he said, "Watch out for the legal experts. They like to walk around in long robes. They want to be greeted with honor in the markets. They long for places of honor in the synagogues and at banquets. They are the ones who cheat widows out of their homes, and to show off, they say long prayers. They will be judged most harshly." Jesus sat across from the collection box for the temple treasury and observed how the crowd gave their money. Many rich people were throwing in lots of money. One poor widow came forward and put in 2 small copper coins worth a penny. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than everyone who's been putting money in the treasury. All of them are giving out of their spare change, but she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything she had, even what she needed to live on." Psalms chapter 10. Why are you so far away, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself when we are in trouble? The wicked are proud and persecute the poor. Catch them in the traps they have made. The wicked are proud of their evil desires. The greedy curse and reject the Lord. The wicked do not care about the Lord. In their pride, they think that God doesn't matter. The wicked succeed in everything. They cannot understand God's judgment. They sneer at their enemies. They say to themselves, "I will never fail. I will never be in trouble." Their speech is filled with curses, lies, and threats. They're quick to speak hateful, evil words. They hide themselves in the villages, waiting to murder innocent people. They spy on their helpless victims. They wait in their hiding places like lions. They lie in wait for the poor. They catch them in their traps and drag them away. The helpless victims lie crushed. Brute strength has defeated them. The wicked say to themselves, "God doesn't care. He has closed his eyes and will never see me." O Lord, punish those wicked people. Remember those who are suffering. How can the wicked despise God and say to themselves, "He will not punish me"? But you do see. You take notice of trouble and suffering and are always ready to help. The helpless commit themselves to you. You have always helped the needy. Break the power of wicked and evil people. Punish them for the wrong they have done until they do it no more. The Lord is King forever and ever. Those who worship other gods will vanish from his land. You will listen, O Lord, to the prayers of the lowly. You will give them courage. You will hear the cries of the oppressed and the orphans. You will judge in their favor, so that mortal men may cause terror no more. May God bless the reading of his word. We saw from Numbers today that Israel had a very large army, over 603,000. So obviously their total population was well over 1 million. Needless to say, Moses had his hands full. Today in Mark 12, we heard about the poor widow who gave all she had. 2 things immediately come to mind. Many of us today are suffering financially. We aren't making the kind of money we used to. It's probably harder to be faithful with our giving than it was when money was more plentiful. But it is still important to give, even though the amount may be less. We learn from this account in Mark that the amount of the gift is less important than the amount of sacrifice. God looks at the heart, always. And the second thing that comes to mind is that God does truly notice our giving. He notices when it doesn't cost us much, and He notices when it costs us everything. And one last observation. We don't give to God because He needs it. We give because we need it. Giving is an expression of our love and faith in God. Giving is much more for us than it is for Him. Psalm chapter 10 is another psalm to illustrate that humankind really has not changed. The same things that David wrote about are still facing us today. I'm so glad that we have the book of Psalms to lead us in worship and prayers to a God that never changes. Well, that'll do it for today. I'll see you tomorrow. May God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.